My, my, my. Thank you, Brother Cox. No greater miracle than that. Amen. That's tremendous. Praise the Lord. Well, it's just been good and gooder this morning. And praise the Lord for it. We'll be serving lunch probably around 12:30. And so we've got time for another preacher to come. And we just calling some up from the floor, as well as some of these that we already told to be ready to preach. Bible talks about being instant in season and out. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But just thank God. I was thinking about it a while ago. It's not that we don't have anything to fill the time with. We got more to fill it with than we got time. That's the way it works. And I'm going to ask, again, we're kind of putting the finger on some of our alumni and some of you preachers that come and support the college and you help us out, come and fill in our chapels and doing all that for us. And we praise the Lord for that. We still going in the morning. We're going to be preaching right on through in the morning and, of course, again tonight. And I just got mixed emotions about everybody I want to call, but I'm going to ask Brother Vince Buttons if he would to come on up. He's from First Baptist Church in Pinch, West Virginia. That's not too far from the capital, Charleston there. And it's beautiful country up there. It got a little wet on them not long ago. We had been up with Brother Vince and stayed in a motel right across the interstate there. And it literally flooded out that place where we had stayed to where it was an island there for a while. They couldn't hardly think they had to get the military out there. It washed the bridge away. We got out of there been gone about a week, hadn't we? Maybe 2 weeks when that hit. I was glad I wasn't there. But Brother Vince, one of our earlier graduates here, done a good job up there. I love to go up there. He still baptizes in the creek, no matter how cold it is. And just a great spirit, great attitude. He could build a baptistry in the church, but they just always use the creek, and that's okay, amen. All right. Brother Buttons, you come on and speak to us as the Lord leads you here.
Yeah, we've used swimming pools and something deep enough, amen. That's what matters. But they like the creek, and I really wished that it happened so much that I have to have two or three spots to baptize. You know, it don't happen as often. I like to see it happen, being baptized out there, back up here in a holler. But you got to come to our church on purpose, all right? And so Brother Carter's come and preached up here a couple times for us, and I'm glad since Stephen's been up there, Sonia's making him go up here more often now, so that means I get to use him some, so that's a blessing there as well. I feel like Trump. Nobody told me ahead of time what was going on. Yeah, but then when I put my hands in my pocket, I don't feel like Trump. There's nothing there, so I don't know what to do. Thank you. I feel like a Baptist preacher when I put my hands in my pocket. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. All these college students here excited for you. I'm a college student, so last night I sat there and I got me staying over there at the college dorms with the boys, and I feel young again. That's good. I like it. All right. And I first guy I met yesterday was the dean of men. I've been in the dean's office quite a few times. Been on his list. I'm on the dean's list. So I had me nervous. First got his sickle me as a dean, you know, kind of scary. But anyway, Brother Rayburn, 30 years ago I come here, moved here that summer 30 years ago, and then Brother Lee was putting up with me when we was over there, and he was wanting somebody to come preach for him. Somehow they thought you and I jailed, so they sent me your way, and I got to preach for you a few times. We jailed, and I'm going to have him come preach for me now. He's an evangelist. But we got to do it during deer season, what I was told, so I got to make my revivals change a little bit. But, he'll come when the Lord tells him to, I'm sure. Look at a verse, just one verse for sake of time. You want me to preach fast? Put me right before lunch. You see them cartoons, the guy's got a little donkey, he's got that stick with that carrot in front of his nose. That's what they done to me right here. So here we go. So hang on, all right? Verse 21, just for the sake of time, here's what Paul says. He says, for me to live is Christ. To die is what?
Gain.
Now, when Paul wrote this, he wasn't in the best circumstances. As a prisoner, and sometimes chained to a Roman soldier, house arrest, whatever it might be, but when you read the book of Philippians and the other prison epistles, you can't help but hear triumph. Amen. As he wrote, he wasn't a prisoner in spirit or in heart, was he? He was chained to a guard, but he also was chained to Christ, and that's what kept him going. And so he said, hey, I'm going to tell you what life's about. He said, life's about Christ. And then when life's over, it's nothing but gain. Basically, that's what he's saying. Paul, you got to remember, his thinking was a little different. He got to see things you and I've never got to see yet. He says in Corinthians, he says, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, and I used to never need these. The outward man is perishing, there's no question about it. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Then he said this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So what he faced, he said, that's just momentarily. He says, worketh for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen, he said, are eternal. See, what Paul said here in Philippians, to live as Christ, to die as gain, this was his thinking. He's seen things you and I heard about a little bit. But he said this. He said, what we face now in serving Christ is a light affliction. But then I get to reading over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the things he faced. And preacher, he called that light. I haven't faced a smidgen for Christ that he's faced. And I run around and pout and cry about it half the time. I think sometimes I've got it hard. But listen to what he calls light. I want you to understand Paul's thinking. And if we can think like this, it'll fire us up. Hey, young men, young ladies, it'll fire us up that we're studying to serve the Creator, God, the Savior. And yeah, you're going to have some times, but compared to what awaits us at the gain, it's light. Here's what he says. Here's what he's called. He said, in stripes, but measures, in prisons, more frequent. He said, the Jews five times received thy 40 stripes. 195 lashes, and who knows what kind of instrument he used on them. Beat, strike. He called that light affliction. He said, thrice was I beat with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. The night and the day, I've been in the depth and journeys often, perils of waters and robbers and perils of my own countrymen and perils of heathens in the city and perils in the wilderness and perils in the sea and perils among false brethren. In weariness, painfulness, and watching often, hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. He said, and besides all that, he said, none of these things without, he says, have come daily the cares of the churches. Paul said, now listen, that's just a light thing compared to the eternal weight of glory. He said, that's just a temporal thing. We're talking about the gain is eternal. This is light compared to the weight. Hey, this is affliction, but we're talking about glory. Yeah. Paul knew about it. The Bible tells us, I believe, when he was stoned in the book of Acts is probably when this happened. But he said in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 5, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. It was just so real to him. I don't know what I was at, but I'm telling you what I saw. He says, such as are caught up into the third heaven. That's where the throne's at. That's where my Savior's at. Hey, my Father's house, there are many mansions. I've got a place there. Amen. So that's caught up in the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that when I was caught up into paradise. He said, I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will glory. Yet for myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Paul truly believed living for Christ in this life is what should be done. He's got to see things that weren't lawful to talk about here, but they're wonderful things. He said, hey, to die, when we die, don't whine about it. That's just gain after that.
Yeah.
See, we got everything so backwards because we think the gain's now, and the world thinks the gain's now. And all this world has to offer us, the Bible tells us, 1 John, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all it has for us.
Right.
And then when you die, you leave it right there at the grave. You don't take none of it with you. I was come home from church one night, and Super Bowl Sunday night, and I don't watch that stuff, not because I'm spiritual. I tell folks, well, you know, since I've been saved, I've never watched football. And they'll go, what's wrong with football? I said, I never watched it before. I just never liked it. You know, I tell folks, since I've been saved, I never drink coffee. What's wrong with coffee? I never drank coffee before I got saved. I just don't like it. I'm still on milk. I'm not weaned yet. You know, leave But I come home because people talk about the commercials and getting dressed, and Sunday nights, sometimes you're kind of strung up anyway, so it takes a while to wind down and even go to sleep. And so I turned on the television, and they had the football game going on, even in overtime. And I just wanted to watch to see the commercials. I could care less who won what. But the game was over. Guess what? You won't believe this. Somebody won. And I watched these hulk of men, great big monster men, boo-hooing and crying like a bunch of babies. And I got so tickled, I told the wife, I'm happy for these guys. So I said, probably ever since they was little pee-weeers, their parents had them out in the field, and this was their life's goal. This is it. This is the pinnacle of playing football. And they achieved it. And I said, and they're happy? And I'm not cutting on none of that. But you know what? If that's all they're going after, when they die, they leave it there. They enjoy it. But when they die, it's done. It's over. You don't take none of that with you.
Right.
There ain't too many things I like to do. If it's got a bullet or a hook in it, I like it.
Yeah.
About that's it. I don't like balls unless it's a bobber. I like a bobber. And so, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I don't know, something just, it just triggers something in my flesh. It's like a high just to go fishing. I love the fish. I hunt, but I love the fish. Lust of the eyes, it looks good. Pride of life, I love to catch a fish so I can brag about it. But that's all that's got to offer me. I've got pictures. I got some on the wall. I've got some wonderful memories. But the moment I die, I don't take none of that with me. I leave it at the grave. Well, guess what I get to take with me? The things I do for Christ. See, thus the fears of the world, not of the Father. Jesus said, don't love it. Don't go after it. That's none of the world. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. He says, but now, he says, to live to Christ. He said, let me tell you what you're going to have over there. If all I ever did was live for the flesh and the things of this world, when I step out of here, there's no gain. But what you live for Christ now, there's gain over there. You get to take, hey, no U-Haul bringing nothing out of here, but you can send them up there. And after I get up there, some of the fruits are still going to follow because of the things I've done for God's glory. Now, I said all that to say this, and I'm done. The things that Paul's seen that got him thinking that way are beyond our imagination. The Bible says this, as is written, the eye has not seen. Paul got to see it, but our eyes haven't seen it. The ear has not heard. You've not even heard. The half hasn't even been told. You have never seen anything like it. You have never heard anything like it. I have been seen, ear than heard, and guess what? Neither has entered into the heart of man what God's got waiting for us. Now, I've got a big imagination. I imagine that river of life with the tree of life on both sides right down the middle on the island. And I imagine pointing one of them islands, probably some bass this big swimming around. And I can imagine me standing there. Imagine that. I imagine a lot of wonderful things. My place, how God's made it up. It's a funny thing. The Father says, I've got one daughter moved down. She moved down here too. I didn't want her to move out, but not way down here. My goodness, but got two more daughters, and I want them to grow up, get married, get out. I do. Go do. But the Heavenly Father says, I don't want you to go. I want you to come to my house, in my Father's house. He says, I want you here. Now I want the grandkids here, but kids get out, you know. But I, nothing, whatever you've ever imagined. The greatest thing Hollywood tries to put together to make a pearly city or whatever it is, all that, it's not even touched. It ain't even touched the hem of what God's got waiting for us.
Yeah.
I don't know what that does for you, son. It makes it exciting to me.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more it looks good. And we're tired. I worry about this whole filthy world anyway. There are things we do know. We know that we're going to get a better body. When I was your age, that meant nothing to me. But now this old body's got some pains. Doc says it's got some problems. I'm glad I got to spend eternity in this body. Hallelujah. It means something to me now. I know what you're thinking, fellas. A glorified body, well, brother, but you've already got one. I know you're thinking that. I was just saying, get it out there. But no, it's going to be something better than this. You'll never grow old, no pain, no handicaps. I'm colorblind and dyslexic and ain't too bright, but that'll be all fixed. Hey, we'll gain a better home. Now, I'm not complaining where I live, but I've got a mansion. Now, what we call mansions ain't a mansion. We just say that because we think they're nice places. Again, you have not even seen what awaits you one day. Better home, better inheritance. It's been a few years ago before my daddy died. He had this big 3/4 acre pond and his track where I'm going up to visit. He's up northern Indiana then. He's way up north now. He's home with the Lord. But I showed up one week and visited him. He said, son, he says, why don't you just, we need churches up here. We need good preachers up here. But he wanted me to come, but he still needs a good preacher. But anyway, he said, we need some good preachers up here. He said, I'm going to give you all that. We'll build a house on it. It's yours. Take it. Come on. I remember looking at him. I said, Dad, if it was just occupation, if all I was doing, where I was doing was that, was just an occupation, I'd be up here tomorrow. And we'd do it right here, best we can. I said, but the Lord told me to do it right there in that little place called Pinch, West Virginia, is where he told me to do it. I said, you got to understand that. He said, I don't understand it. You can do it here. You can do a good job here. I said, no. Dad, you remember when we built motels? I said, he was the man. He was the man. He watched over all. He was the superintendent of the whole job. I said, there were times you told us to hang sheetrock over here. We said, we're right here. Why don't we finish it here? You said, no, I want you to go over here. I said, because you knew. We didn't know. You said you wanted it here. And so we just got to go over and hang sheetrock. We've got to do it here sometime, yeah, but not now. All I know is God's told me to hang my sheetrock right here. And he had that funny look on his face that Dad would get when you get too old and he can't whip you, but he wants to. That kind of face. And I knew the point got across to him. And he understood the part about it. It's a calling. When God puts you in a place, he puts you there. Hell or high water, love you or not. No matter, you got to put there, you stay there till God tells you to get out. There's a thousand ways he tells you to get out, but you stay there till you get out. So I give up my inheritance. I told my wife when we was heading back home to West Virginia, I said, I just give up my inheritance. She said, what? I said, well, I'm telling you right now, I promise you, a few years later, Dad dies. Guess what? I ain't got nothing. But that's okay. I'm working for a better inheritance. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hey, we've got an inheritance in him. I don't know what all it entails, but I know it's better than a little old 5 acres and a little 3/4 acre pond. Yeah. Amen? And then move here and be miserable because you're out of the will of God. Hey, I'll take what God's got for me. And then we'll have better fellowship. Right now, there's some people dear to me that I used to fellowship camp right now. They've done gone home. When we get up there, we'll have better fellowship with one another. Nothing to interrupt. Time won't matter.
Right.
Matters today. We got lunch here in a minute, but time won't matter. Some people, when they get to heaven, they won't even know how to talk and fellowship, because you see, there'll be no aches and pains. We'll have nothing to talk about. So some of you folks are gonna be real quiet when you get to heaven, because everybody's acting right. No aches and pains in your life. You're just gonna sit there. We were talking about, there ain't nobody or nothing to talk about. You know what Paul says? I'm finished, I'm hungry. You know what Paul says? Here's what he says. Wrap it all up. Think how he's thinking. Think about what all he's seen that we ain't got to see yet. Think about a little bit we know how wonderful it's going to be. He said, I'm going to tell you what life's about Christ. It's about serving him. Whatever capacity it is he wants you to do, that's what you want to do. It's very important, whatever you play. If you're doing his will, that's what he wants.
But
he put this body together. He wants it all going the same direction, but every part's got a member's got a different job. was ripping plywood the other day, and I squint my eyes, and chips were giving in to me. Never got my eye because there's just one of those small members called eyelashes. Don't think about much.
Right.
They don't do much, but what they do is help support the eye, which helps support other things. So I don't know what he's got for me to do, but do it for him, and that's what matters. To live is Christ.
Yes.
Whatever you're living is, to live is Christ. And when you do that, then when you die, guess what it is? Gain. To live for money, to live for fame, to live for whatever else that's out there, when you die, it's loss.
Yeah.
It's all right there at the grave. But to live for Christ, that's gain. And more than likely, probably everybody here knows Christ the Savior, but I'm telling you, if something's stopping you from trusting Christ, I promise you it's a great loss.
Amen.
And it's not necessary when it's Christ died that we might gain. Amen? Hey, I don't know about you. I like this serving Jesus.
Amen.
I like the thought. Hey, here's what he promised, and I'm done. Here's what he promised. The disciples come back, just kind of abbreviated here. They said, Lord, we've given up everything for you.
Yeah.
We give us all up for you. Jesus more or less told, hey, listen, fellas, whatever you've given up, I'll return 100-fold.
Yeah.
Now, if I said tonight, you show up with a dollar, and I'll give you $100, I bet you we'll see a lot of dollar bills tonight. 100-fold. Here's what he said. You serve me. God is a giver and a rewarder. God likes to reward, and he likes to give. Amen? And I'm glad that's the kind of God I serve. Hey, to live is Christ. It's all about him, Paul says. And to die is what? Tell me, it's what?
Gain.
Father, thank you. You let us know you like to reward. I'm looking forward to that gain. Lord, I'm even looking forward to the rest of this day to serve you. And whatever more days you got in front of me, you willing to serve you this side of heaven. I'm excited about it. Paul said he was betwixt the two, whether to go or to stay, what's more profitable. Whatever you want's fine. We help these young hearts in particular here that are studying for ministry, one form or another, remind them how wonderful the game will be. Help them keep their sight, but right now it's about you, your will, and your life.